Let's talk a little bit now about Dr. Kevin Nelson's research in the moments that we have left in this hour before we go to calls next hour, Jeffrey.
Sure.
I guess, had you been part of this study, would you have changed it?
If I had been, I was kind of. I actually emailed the near-death experiencers we had in our database that allowed me, gave me advance permission to email them and let them know about this study. So I actually was involved in recruiting the near-death experiencers. Now, having said that, that was my only role, and I'm not a co-author of this study at all, and was not really involved in the production of this article. That's a real good question. If I were involved in this study, I think I would have done it substantially differently. I would have asked people when they had these types of out-of-body experiences or so-called REM intrusion experiences to describe in great detail what they were actually talking about. I'd want to make this what's called a prospective study, if at all possible. In other words, you'd get people that had a life-threatening event and then ask a large group of people these types of questions that Dr. Nelson did, and that way you'd have a much, much more solid conclusion than was possible with this type of study, which is technically called a retrospective study, or, if you will, looking backward type of study.
Now, he's got a line here that says, "We found it surprising that out-of-body experience with sleep transition seemed very much like out-of-body experience during near-death." What's he saying there?
Oh, he's talking about, again, you know, people that have these types of sort of semi-dream state types of out-of-body experiences. There, for the whole past several hours, it was extremely clear that near-death experiences have nothing to do with that. In fact, what he's talking about are basically called technically hypnagogic or hypnopompic hallucinations. The term hallucination is real. When people have these types of experiences around falling asleep, typical symptoms, unlike near-death experiences, for these what he's talking about are falling sensations, fears, sensing a presence, often evil. They may feel a pressure sensation on their chest or back, a sense of not being able to breathe, a sense of impending doom. Again, hallucinations that are clearly not real to the person experiencing this when they wake up. Out-of-body experiences where what they're seeing or hearing in the out-of-body state are not real. And as you can tell, none of that has anything to do with near-death experiences at all.
No, he seems to imply that sleep has a lot to do with it.
Well, you know, again, there's absolutely no way. You know, when you talk about, we've talked about, you know, when you have a cardiac arrest, when your heart stops, within 10 seconds, your measure of electroencephalogram, measure of brain electrical activity goes flat. You can't have a thought. We actually at one point did a survey where we asked our near-death experiencers if the experience was, quote, dreamlike in any way, unquote, deliberately worded to encourage a positive response if there was any relationship whatsoever with what they experienced in dreams. And the bottom line is the NDEers almost unanimously indicated that the experience, the near-death experience, was not only not like a dream, but adamant that it was nothing like a dream whatsoever. So again, going to the original source, the near-death experiencers, they're adamant this isn't related to anything that goes on. You know, and again, Dr. Nelson, he talks about REM, or rapid eye movement, as being a part of near-death experience. Well, if that were true, George, wouldn't it be impossible for somebody who's blind from birth and has no REM during their entire life to have a visual NDE?
Right, you would think so.
Well, absolutely you would, and yet there's actually been several dozen blind people, including some blind from birth, that have, about 70% of these groups, have visual near-death experiences. That's absolutely impossible if REM intrusion, rapid eye movement intrusion, were a part of the near-death experience. That could not happen. And again, we've talked about NDEs occurring when they're deep under general anesthesia. Again, you know, you have a cardiac arrest as a surgical complication. Absolutely impossible that that's related to REM intrusion.
Is there anything that came out of the study that you would welcome?
Yes, there's an interest in doing research in near-death experience. There's not a whole heck of a lot of that. I certainly would reiterate that Dr. Nelson is a brilliant and very accomplished neurologist. I have a great deal of respect for work like this. I may not disagree with the conclusions, but this work is still very, very important because we need to look at all possible explanations of near-death experience. They need to be carefully considered and pros and cons bandered about in the scientific literature through the ways we usually banter back and forth as researchers. If Dr. Nelson wanted to do another NDE study, I would be first in line to help him out in whatever way I can, or anybody else that's a credible scientist and a well-known academician. So, I certainly think that this is important. I certainly think that it's reasonable to consider all possible medical explanations of the near-death experience, because only after we've considered all possible explanations and found that they really don't hold water, that they're not valid, then and only then can we convince the greater scientific world, beyond a shadow of a doubt, even with their level of proof that they require, that near-death experience is absolutely for real.